This is THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Network. On-demand audio for the world of golf like never before. Welcome to The Dean Has Spoken with your hosts, JB and The Dean.
Welcome, everyone, to THP Radio. I'm your host, JB, and today we have a new episode of The Dean Has Spoken. This show is co-hosted by none other than THP staff writer extraordinaire, Dean, and he can be found on the THP forum, as well as on Twitter, at Dean of THP. Welcome.
Hey, Josh. How are we doing tonight?
We're doing well. It's U.S. Open week.
It is U.S. Open week, which means later on in the show, we'll get to some predictions, see if we can strike up some magic, kind of like we did with the Masters preview.
Yeah, we'll say we did with the Masters preview.
It's a we effort on this show, so yeah.
Sounds good. The Dean Has Spoken is a new twist on your on-demand audio in the world of golf. We'll be discussing equipment, tour golf, the industry happenings, and anything else that strikes our fancy, with the key here being that the Dean of THP will always have the final word. The way the show works is easy. There's 5 topics, 10 arguments, but only one right answer, and because he is the Dean, he's going to let you know what that is. Now, before we get started, I want to thank our sponsor, Encore Golf, for being a part of The Dean Has Spoken. Encore Golf is more than a golf ball. It's about a lifestyle. That's all about doing, being, and giving more. Be more with Encore. Now, today is a special U.S. Open preview show, and we're excited about the week ahead. Coming up, we're going to talk about Oakmont, U.S. Open scoring, Phil Mickelson, make some fun predictions, and even have a killer contest to announce. Are you ready for the first topic?
I am ready. Let's do this.
The U.S. Open is the one every single year that is called the toughest test in golf. Do you prefer lower scores, or do you prefer that toughest test in golf, where par is like considered the greatest score? What do you say, Dean?
You know, I like the tough test of the U.S. Open. It's just different from what we see week in and week out on the tour. You know, the majors are so different from each other. The Masters is usually about making birdies. The U.S. Open's about making pars. You know, the British Open is trying to survive whatever kind of windy conditions are over there. And then the PGA Championship, it kind of depends on the venue. The U.S. Open is the toughest test in golf, like you've said. I like seeing guys have to get into the rough and not be able to hit, you know, a 200-yard 7-iron out of the rough to a soft green. You know, you see guys hit a pitch shot or play for position, and then they're hitting it onto a green that looks like it's made of cement. The ball bounces all over the place. I like that style of golf because, really, Josh, that's the kind of style of golf that I play. I can't hit long shots out of the rough like that. So for me, it's like, oh, we're seeing these guys struggle a little bit. It makes me feel a little bit better about the game of golf that I play.
You know, it's an interesting conversation, and one I had recently with an announcer at ESPN. We were talking about golf, and I said, for some reason, it's the one sport where we compare ourselves to the tour pros. And I don't know if that's because we have access to the same courses in some areas, not all, or the same equipment. But we don't watch a NBA Finals and hope they struggle to make shots. We don't watch a Super Bowl and hope, well, you guys might hope Tom Brady overthrows all the passes. We want to see good action and athletes playing at their best. Yet for some reason, golf fans get excited about the U.S. Open and watching golfers struggle. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I tend to like the U.S. Open a little bit. I think in the couple of the last few years, it's gotten almost too tricked out. I thought last year's greens were abysmal. But why is that? Why do we get excited about seeing guys struggle to make par?
Well, I like that you're seeing guys play tough golf courses in tough conditions. It puts a premium on, you know, for lack of a better term, a premium on shot making. Hitting good shots off the tee. You get rewarded in a U.S. Open when you hit a ball in the fairway, as opposed to some of these other tour events where you can kind of spray it in either direction and still have a chance. It's nice to see, you know, be rewarded for a really good shot off the tee and a good shot from the fairway. I don't like seeing courses be unfair. So it's, you know, there's a difference between tough and unfair. You know, Mike Davis has done a really good job, in my opinion, of setting up the U.S. Open courses since he's stepped into that role. You know, the graduated rough has really changed things a little bit, give them a little extra miss off the tee.
I would agree there.
So he's done a good job with that. You know, you mentioned last year's course being a little tricked up. The greens were awful last year. There's no debate about that. You know, the course conditions were brown, which that didn't bother me. One thing I really liked about last year's U.S. Open was the creativity we saw players have. you know, use the different sideboards around the greens. You know, that's something, again, that we don't see every week, guys with that much creativity in how to play a shot. So that was cool to me watching it last year. But, you know, once they got on the greens were, they were awful. You know, I can't defend that.
Did you know that Johnny Miller once went low on the final round of the U.S. Open?
Are you talking about 1973?
I could be. I mean, I was just checking in to make sure you knew this. He's mentioned it a time or two.
You know, the cool thing is that Fox, this is Fox's second year for the broadcast of the U.S. Open, so we don't have to have Johnny Miller there reliving it shot by shot, you know, when I did this back in 73, and we don't have to hear him talking about players being, you know, chokers down the stretch. So that'll be kind of refreshing, the first U.S. Open at Oakmont in a while that Johnny Miller hasn't been in the announcer's booth.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed the U.S. Open coverage last year by Fox, so I don't want to stray too far off topic. I struggled with Holly Saunders. I thought she was abysmal in her role of making people awkward. Well, she was really good at making people awkward post-round, but abysmal in interviewing. But the overall coverage I enjoyed. I thought there was some innovation there. I thought they were getting their feet wet but doing it decently. They struggled to track the ball early rounds, but the later rounds were good. And I'm really looking forward to their second cut at it.
Yeah, like you say, not to stray too far, but I agree with you. I thought Fox did a really good job of it last year. You know, the beginning of the week, you know, every time they put a graphic up, there was some kind of sound effect. By the end of the week, that kind of went away. You know, the last 2 hours of coverage was commercial free. That was awesome to watch because there was a lot of action going on.
And absolutely.
Whether you like him or not, Joe Buck is a really, really good broadcaster.
Agreed.
Yeah, you know, he's really professional about it. He knows what he's doing up there. And I know some people don't like him because he does a lot of different sports, but he does a good job, and I thought he did a really good job with golf.
He does a good job of making the broadcast not about him.
Yes.
Now, switching gears, we're going to continue to talk about the U.S. Open, obviously, but it couldn't be a U.S. Open without us talking about Phil Mickelson. He needs the U.S. Open for the career slam. He's shown some flashes of brilliance this year. But does he have a shot to get it done at Oakmont?
You know, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. You know, always the runner-up. He's got six runners-up, you know, in the U.S. Opens. He's already said that, you know, Oakmont's going to be the toughest course they've ever played for a U.S. Open setup. I don't like hearing that out of a player already going into the tournament talking about how difficult it's going to be, maybe the most difficult ever. Phil's always been one who's, you know, been pretty critical. He's not afraid to speak his mind about course setups. You know, the last time it was there, he was upset about the one par three playing too long. You know, Marion a few years ago, another one of his runner-ups, he was upset about a par three into the wind that he thought was playing too long. So you hear these things from him. You'd have to think that he's going to maybe win a U.S. Open one of these days to complete the career Grand Slam. We would have all thought the Open Championship was the one that he would not have gotten, but he got that job done. I think he will win an Open. I just don't think it's going to be at Oakmont.
There's a sentimental thing where I'd like to see him win one because I want to see greatness, and I think over the last 15 years, you could argue he's been the greatest golfer out there. I know it's arguable, but at least for the, you know, going back 3 years, and if you went back seven from there, you could say so. I look at Phil and I say it always comes down to the putter. He's known as making the big mistake and doing things quote unquote Phil-like. It's so Mickelson-like. But really it comes down to his putter. When it's hot, he can go as low as anybody out there, but it turns faster than any golfer I've ever seen. And I think that it Oakmont, with some shelves and some slopes, that it's going to give him fits.
Yeah, I just don't think it's a good fit for him. You know, thinking of the career Grand Slam, he's got some courses coming up that will suit his eye, I think, a little better. You know, Shinnecock in 2018, Pebble Beach in 2019, and, you know, Winged Foot in 2020. You know, those are going to be good chances for him. Erin Hills, I don't know if he's ever played at Erin Hills, so I can't comment on that. But the other courses, you know, four out of the next 5 years or three out of the next 4 years should suit him and give him better chances than I think he'll have at Oakmont.
Yeah, I actually think Pebble Beach suits him very well, and we'll see what he can do there. But I agree with you on Oakmont. I just don't think it's his year. I'd like to be wrong because I'd like to see him down the stretch because I think it'd be exciting for the game.
It would be a good story. You and I, we both like good stories in golf. We've talked about that before on these podcasts. It would be a really good story to see him win at Oakmont, but I just don't think it's his week. Another story would be Jim Furyk winning at Oakmont, you know, the Pennsylvania boy winning there. He came up a shot short last time it was at Oakmont in 2007. But just like Mickelson, I don't think it's going to happen for Furyk either.
Little known fact. So Jim Furyk is a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And on average, he goes to between 4 and 6 away Steelers games a year.
Hmm. There you go.
Yeah. Little fun fact for you.
Fun fact for you.
Before we continue, I want to remind everybody that they can discuss these topics and all the topics on the THP forum with thousands of golfers every single day. And we know our U.S. Open thread is going to be hopping. And of course, you can follow, discuss, debate, and interact with both myself and the Dean of THP on Twitter. At THP Golf and at Dean of THP. Now, third topic, we've talked about Oakmont for the last couple of topics. It's hosted 9 U.S. Opens, more than any other course. Is it the best venue for the U.S. Open?
Ugh. You know, it's kind of
according to Johnny Miller, it is.
It really is kind of one when you picture the U.S. Open. I kind of do picture Oakmont. You know, it's picturesque. It's got... I, for lack of better terms here, I mean, it's really nice and green. It's got the church steeple bunkers. It really sets up perfect for what I think of when I think of U.S. Open. Is it my favorite U.S. Open course? Not really. You know, the bias in me says Bethpage Black. You know, it's
spoken
a state,
like a true New Yorker.
It's a state-run public golf course, so that adds to the openness of it. You know, it's a tough golf course as well, but... You know, I'm going to go a little bit farther out on Long Island. I'm going to say Shinnecock Hills to me is the best U.S. Open venue. I know a lot of people will probably say Pebble Beach. The views there are spectacular, but I don't like Pebble Beach as a U.S. Open golf course. I much prefer Shinnecock Hills, and I'm pretty excited for when it returns there in 2018.
Now, you know, my take is a little different. I like Oakmont. I still go when you read through the history, you know, they added the trees and they took the trees away, and you know, it has hosted more, and there's been some memorable ones like Johnny Miller.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for fresh. I want new, and I know Aaron Hills is coming up, but there's so many amazing golf courses in the United States. I'd like to see some fresh ones come about. And if I were in charge, I would have a rule that says if you host a regular PGA Tour event, you shouldn't be used as a major. Call it opinion, call it whatever you want. That's my belief. I don't like Pebble Beach being used for it. I love the Pebble Beach golf course and facility. I love the views. It's just not right to me.
You know what? This might surprise people. I agree with you on that. I don't like Torrey Pines being used as a U.S. Open venue. I don't like Pebble Beach. It's a regular tour stop being used as a U.S. Open venue, even though it's a really fun golf course to sit back and watch players play. I don't know. It just doesn't sit right with me. And we're seeing that a little bit on PGA Championship venues now. I mean, Quail Hollow is going to be a PGA Championship course. Bethpage is becoming a PGA course instead of a USGA course now. They have the Barclays there. They rotate it every 3 or 4 years. They get back to a different course in the New York metropolitan area. That tournament is there this year, and then the PGA Championship's there, and I think it's 2019. And it's going to be a Ryder Cup course. So it's kind of shied away from the U.S. Open, USGA, ROTA, for better terms again. But I'm with you. I don't like seeing courses being played in February or March, and then all of a sudden, come summer, they're back being a major venue.
And I'll be honest, last time the Open was at Pebble Beach, it didn't do a lot for me. So that plays a role of it, at least scenic. I like to see beauty. Whether that's – it doesn't have to be lush and green or anything to be beautiful. Pebble Beach didn't do a lot for me. I'm just looking for new blood. I want some new blood. There's so many amazing golf courses in the United States, and it's like they can't creatively get out of their own way, and they have to go back to the same ones over and over again.
I hope they put more of them on the West Coast, even though, you know, I'm on the East Coast and I like having the ones in Long Island and, you know, New York. I love sitting there watching primetime golf, especially the U.S. Open, with all of that going on. You know, 8, 9 o'clock at night as I'm sitting in my chair getting ready for work the next morning. I like watching golf and major championship golf at that.
Dean, did you know the company founders of Encore volunteer their time with the First Tee program?
Really? That's pretty cool.
They provide their own personal customer service on social media channels like Facebook, Twitter, etc. When you deal with a brand like Encore, you're dealing with the people responsible for the products, so you know you're getting the right information every time. Be more with Encore. More distance, more feel, more spin, and of course, more performance. If you want to give them a try and check out their complete line, check out EncoreGolf.com. Now it's time for the fourth topic, and the fourth topic, just like all our preview shows, it's sleeper time. Due to the backlash we had because we picked somebody who was like 38th, we're going to say that sleepers have to be outside the top 40. Dean, who do you got?
All right, well...
give me one, and we'll alternate. We're each going to take two sleepers. Give me one.
All right, so this one maybe you'll get some backlash too because he is a former U.S. Open champion, but he's ranked number...
son of a bitch.
No. He's ranked number 72 in the world.
Okay, you're okay there.
It's going to be Webb Simpson. You know, he's had two solid starts. His wife just had...
his last 5 years?
No, in his last two starts in May, he's had two solid starts. And his wife just had a baby in May. He might have been sidetracked a little bit with that. So he's got a new baby. He's playing better golf. I wouldn't be surprised if he makes a little noise at the U.S. Open.
I assume by making a little noise, you mean cheering on the people on the weekends?
That's fine. He could do that. But I like him as a sleeper pick outside the top 50 for the U.S. Open at Oakmont.
I'm going to go with a former major champion as well, and I thought you were taking my pick again.
I decided not to because I didn't want to hear you cry, but everybody heard it already.
I'm going to go with Graham McDowell here, and I know we both actually feel this way. He's gone through a really hot and cold year, some missed cuts, but he's won in 2016, well, at least the 2016 season. And last time he played a really tough course was at the Honda, and he finished really well. Top 10. I don't think he'll get it through to winning, but if his putter starts out early, he makes a couple of putts early on the front nine on Thursday, I think he's going to make some waves this weekend.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. He was on my list, and we jokingly said I was going to steal your pick again. And that's kind of why I set up the Webb Simpson pick like that. But I had GMAC on my list as well. I think he's a guy who can play well in these events. Obviously, he's won one at Pebble Beach, which we already trashed. It would be an interesting thought to see him go out to Oakmont and play well. My second sleeper pick is going to be Billy Horschel. You know,
speaking of a guy who really hated the greens last year.
Who hated the greens last year, was really outspoken about him. And he wasn't wrong, but he's a guy who we've seen when he gets really hot with the putter, like you're talking about Graham McDowell, when he gets hot with the putter, every other facet of his game seems to follow suit. I feel better about Webb Simpson than I do against Billy Horschel, but he's going to be my second sleeper pick for this week.
I believe since changing club sponsors, Billy Horschel's gone 0 for about everything. Now, I don't relate the two. It just happens to be coincidence. But I think that pick could be solid. He's a guy that if he gets into a rhythm can do well, and when he's driving the ball well, anything can happen.
I mean, he is a very streaky player. We've seen it throughout his career. When he's hot, things are going really, really well. And when he's off, he's watching golf like we are on the weekends.
Yeah, he's with Tiger.
Yeah.
So the second pick for me, I've gone back and forth on this for about 2 days. I have Shane Lowry and Danny Lee. And I'm really struggling to make a selection here, but I'm going to go Shane Lowry only because he's been every single major, or I shouldn't say major, every single big event, he seems to throw in 2 to 3 really good rounds and then struggle. And he's due to break through. And my gut feeling says his game, and he has really good creativity and good hands around the green. I think he could make some waves here. Okay, there we have it. It's time for predictions, though. Two players that we think golf fans should be focusing on this weekend and why. Based on our history and heritage, and I'm saying we, of the Masters, in which my brilliant pick of Danny Willett shined through.
For clearly, our show.
Clearly, we are the ones to watch. So, give me your pick. Give me one of your two picks.
All right, so I'm going to give... my second pick first, and that's going to be Hideki Matsuyama. This guy has the total game. He has the total package. Just like everybody else, if his putter gets hot, it can carry him to his first major victory. He's long enough. He can drive the ball straight enough. I think the course really, really suits up well for him. And we'll see how he holds up under that major championship pressure. I thought he took a step forward in the Masters for his career. And I would not be surprised to see his name on the trophy come Sunday afternoon.
I wouldn't be surprised either. His game usually goes for how it goes for the first nine holes on Thursday. If he's driving the ball as well as he has been, he could very well make waves.
Yeah, I think it could be a good week for him.
My first pick might shock some people. And I'm going to go with Ricky Fowler. He's been up and down like crazy. But there's something about his game recently that says he's been kind of working on it for the U.S. Open. You know, he's been scrambling a little bit. I don't know. There's something about it. That maybe it's the high tops and the joggers. I don't know. But I think he's going to be there come Sunday.
It might have been the extra work he put in Masters weekend that might propel him to a U.S. Open victory. Who knows?
Could be.
He hasn't gotten off to a good start in some of these U.S. Opens in recent history.
And that's why it shocked me.
It would be good to see him do something in this tournament, get back to playing good golf in major championships. And really, it would be a good victory for the game of golf, you know, to get Ricky back up in that conversation with Day, Spieth, and McIlroy.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago where he was top five in all four.
Absolutely. So it would be good to see. It's not a guy I would pick, but that's okay. Doesn't mean he's a bad pick. My pick is going to be Dustin Johnson. I think he's the best player right now without a major. I think he's got longevity in wins. He's won on, what, 8 or 9 great years.
Does he get the title just because everybody else keeps winning them around him?
Well, you know, he's not the highest ranked player. Ricky Fowler is. But, you know, he wins every year. He's won some WGC events. He's won some big events. And he's got to be so close to knocking the door down for one of these majors. I mean, last year, obviously, the 3-putt from, what, 15 feet? You know, to lose to Jordan Spieth.
It's a classic Dustin Johnson way to lose, too.
It really was. You know, he hit such a big drive on that hole and a fantastic second shot. And then I don't know what happened with that putt. It went by the hole and then, you know, it's like the lights went out. But
to be honest, the lights have been out for a while.
He's definitely long enough. It's going to be a long course. He's got the power off the tee. If the putter can hold up, which he's putted a little better in his last couple events, I think he can. He's my top pick. He's the number one guy that I'm going to say is going to win the U.S. Open.
I'll go so far opposite of that I say he finishes behind Phil Mickelson.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think they both are going to play a similar game there, by the way, which is power and then try to use some creativity in short game, and whoever's putter gets hot enough will finish higher.
Yeah, that's fair.
But you're right. I mean, he's got all the power needed. There's no question about that. His putter lets him down every single year.
One of these years, it's got to not let him down, right? I mean, got to happen.
For the longest time, we said that for a number of guys, and eventually it always happens. But for him, there's just something there.
Yeah, unless he turns out to be, you know, the American version of Sergio, because it hasn't happened for him yet either.
You know, I think Sergio could play well this weekend, but that's not my pick.
Okay.
And my pick is not Jordan Spieth, and it's not Jason Day either. But I'm going a little bit of chalk here, and I'm going to take Rory. And he's not a popular pick because his putter, which has been kind of the topic of this show, has been abysmal. He's gone from changing grips to everything else you can imagine. He simply cannot make putts. But there's something about this course and the setup that's going to be so difficult, and I think natural ability eventually takes over, that I think he'll do well.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see him play well. I mean, not talking about length with him, but talking about driving accuracy. I mean, it's the U.S. Open. That's a number one thing, driving accuracy. And Rory is pretty accurate off the tee. I'd like to see him play well. I don't know if this is going to be the setup for him in my mind. You know, that putter has just been really bulky lately. It's not working for him. Like you said, he's changing grips. He's gone back to the conventional grip now from the overlap or from the cross-handed version. So I don't know with Rory. You know, I'd like to see him win or at least contend, but we'll see. So you have Ricky Fowler and Rory McIlroy, and I have Dustin Johnson and Hideki Matsuyama.
Correct. And to expand on what you just said, the number one reason I took him is exactly what you said, the driving accuracy, and he's got the length to go with that, and he'll be able to hit much shorter irons into the greens. So I'm hoping the putting doesn't hold him back. I think you could see him start out a little slower, but I think Saturday's his moving day.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's two other guys that I thought about picking, Josh, that, you know, these aren't official picks. You know, with the driving accuracy, I immediately thought of Adam Scott. You know, he was hot earlier in the year. We saw the putter working well for him, but we know how accurate he is off the tee. I thought he could play well here. And the other guy I thought of was Paul Casey. I looked at him for a little bit. He's 23 in the world now. I thought, you know, he played well here last time, 2007. That was a long time ago. He played well for the first three rounds, that is. You know, he's a guy I thought could maybe be counted as a sleeper, but since we pushed it back farther to outside the top 50, then, you know, he immediately came off the list, and I wasn't going to take him over the other guys that I already named.
You know, the story of the U.S. Open is a bunch of different names, too. I mean, Tiger Woods, everybody thought he was coming back and is not. Justin Rose. There's a lot of names out there that we're going to hear about. Ian Poulter, we want to get to the action, and I'm waiting to see which of these stars is going to rise to the top, because the U.S. Open always seems to do that.
Yeah, it does. You know, it bunches a lot of players together, and similar to what we saw at the Masters, you know, when Jordan Spieth had the train wreck there on 12, that's what you see at the U.S. Open. You know, you don't see guys just make bogeys. You tend to see guys take doubles and triples, and then that really bunches the field back up. And at a course like this, where a little miss can count huge, I think that's what you're going to see. It's going to see a lot of bunched up action, and then we'll see who separates himself. And hopefully there's a few guys in the mix that are those top tier players that everybody wants to see.
I just don't want to see a backdoor winner. The U.S. Open always gives that chance, and I just don't want to see it.
You know, last time it was here, Angel Cabrera, you know, he was the only guy who broke 70 and that, at least in the top 10, he was the only guy that broke 70 on Sunday to win by a shot over Tiger and Furyk. That was a pretty exciting finish. Hopefully, you know, that's what we get. That wasn't a backdoor finish by any means. So hopefully that's what produces this time. Last year's was kind of a backdoor win for Spieth, but
at least he was in the final couple of groups.
Yeah, he was. We can blame Dustin Johnson for three putting from 15 feet for Spieth getting that victory, but Spieth played the hole better than you know, Dustin Johnson did, and therefore he won the tournament.
Correct.
So, you know, every single hole counts. It's a 72-hole tournament. You just don't want to see somebody screw it up at the end for somebody to get a victory.
And finally, it's a major, and on THP that means a huge contest. This week, based on my pick of Rory, we're going to give away a Nike Vaporfly driver. You can win the Vaporfly, you can win the Vaporfly Pro, you can even win the Vaporflex. All you got to do is pick the winner of the Masters. So,
U.S. Open.
Well, yeah. Did I just say Masters?
You did.
I want to go back to Augusta, evidently.
So Danny Willett is not the answer to this contest,
it
everybody.
It is not the answer to the contest. Well, it could be.
At least at this point in time, it's not the answer to this contest.
It could be the right pick. So we're going to know if they're going to, you know, jump on our picks or they're going to go out on their own. I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of Jordan Spieth or Jason Day picks. Just a hunch.
Yeah, I think you'll see a lot of those big three. I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of Henrik Stenson picks either with how well he gets off the tee.
You could very well see that. So we're going to have all the details up on thehackersparadise.com in the THP forum in the Golf on Tour section. It'll be our U.S. Open thread plus contest. All the talk. Masters threads are something special on the forum. Lots of conversation going back and forth. And, of course, this time you get to pick your choice of the Nike driver.
Yeah, that's a pretty sweet contest for the U.S. Open. Good luck to everybody out there. Can't wait to hear your picks. And definitely, if you are a member of the THP forum or want to be a member of the THP forum and just talk about the U.S. Open as it happens, jump on board the forum, and that thread will be hopping for the entire week of the U.S. Open.
There you have it, gang. Another episode of The Dean Has Spoken is in the books. You can join us on the THP forum to discuss and debate everything we talked about here, and of course, follow along on Twitter, at THPGolf, at Dean of THP. Don't forget to head over to iTunes and subscribe to The Hacker's Paradise so you never miss a new episode of The Dean Has Spoken. The Golf Industry Uncut, or our new show, On the Tee Box. And don't forget to leave a review with your thoughts in iTunes of exactly whether or not you agree with the Dean or not. We love the engagement, and we want to know if you agree. So for myself, and of course Dean, we hope you enjoyed this new episode of The Dean Has Spoken. Bye, everybody.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for golf.